All right, Joe, you're on Sit Sock real quick.
Yes.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, you're on Sit Sock. Because you thought that I was going to ditch Kyle.
Yeah, so now you get to be a guest star in Sit Sock for however long you feel like talking.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is Kendrick.
Yeah, I'll just hang out on here.
This is Kyle. And we got Joe on the phone.
Who?
This is probably going to sound like raw ass. It's going to be beautiful.
Probably.
Raw.
Do you want me to leave?
No.
Can you lean into the microphone in our car more?
Can you put the microphone in your mouth?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
So this is Joe from the foreign land. Deep throating a microphone.
Yeah, that was really.
Yeah, that was.
That's gonna make the viewers uncomfortable.
We don't have viewers; they're all blind.
Wow, I feel like you're talking about our listeners and saying they're blind.
Why
is a great
do you
way
have
to
a problem with the different
lose listeners,
Kyle?
Well, I don't want them around. Do you? At least I'm not telling everybody to fuck themselves.
Hey, I have significantly done that less now than I have before, mostly.
How
that
did I
one
leave
time.
Before you guys?
What?
That's you behind me. I'm
yes.
in front of you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Dude.
Oh, wow. That's actually cool. So you can actually be on Sit Sock this whole time.
You're on Sit Sock for a stretch of road.
Okay.
And you're geographically close. You could shout,
this
but let's
a,
not do that.
This is an interesting version of Sit Sock where
yeah.
we're currently...
You make sure that your speaker's pointed down. I don't know where your speaker's
yeah,
pointed. Okay, that's good. That's fine. So anyway, yeah, roll the window down and shout for a little while.
I used to.
This is currently a Sit Sock talking about a Sit Sock, though, and that's going to get dull now.
Yeah,
so
I guess the thing that... We kind of didn't get an appeal earlier or an opinion earlier from someone who had actually seen or liked DC comic characters that weren't just Batman and has seen the new DC movies. Like, have you seen Man of Steel?
Yeah, I saw Man of Steel.
Okay, so since you haven't seen Batman vs. Superman yet because you don't see movies that are, like, relevant...
Ever.
Yeah, no, I don't care about anything like that. No, we're going to go see it this weekend.
Okay, can you give us your... we can kind of go off here, and I know Kendrick hasn't seen it, but can you give us, like, what did you think about Man of Steel and Snyder's interpretation of, like, comic book movies? That was a sigh, by the way, he just did.
I'm just going to preface this with that. I think you guys know this, but, you know, our quote-unquote listeners might not. I don't really care for Superman. There are a couple of really good writers who can
Nobody
do
else.
Superman comics.
Nobody
and, like,
likes
do
Superman,
interesting,
yeah.
cool ways, but they're usually generally based around how actually alien he is, but still understanding how humanity works. There was a really cool post the other day of, like, one of the more recent comics where Superman talks down a jumper.
No.
By just,
oh, yeah,
by, like, just sitting and talking to her about how, like, her life is actually, like, worth something, at least tried.
Yeah, very human.
She doesn't feel like it's worth it, and, like, that's hard, like, hey, you know, life's gonna get better, though, you know, coming from the man who's invulnerable flies and shoots lasers out of his eyes. That's an interesting story. Zack Snyder's Man of Steel was not an interesting story. It started as an interesting story, but it didn't keep that. Because, like, seeing him kind of interact with people, like, in the very beginning when he's working on an oil rig and trying to save people. And then he, like, runs into Lois Lane on his, like, crashed spaceship and, like, laserizes and cauterizes her wound. Like, his interactions with people there is really cool because he is this, like, unfathomably powerful entity trying to figure out his place in our world.
Yeah,
that's an intriguing story.
I agree. I think that is what I kind of liked about Man of Steel was, like, his, like, origin journey up to a certain point in the movie was fantastic.
Yeah. Kevin Costner's character as, like, Kent Clark, I'm trying to remember his dad's, like, name.
I don't remember
Kent,
either. I think it's one, like,
Kent,
Clark
Kent,
Clark's,
basically.
Clark is
Kent. Was retarded. He was really stupid because he, like, you know, I understand the premise of, like, him wanting to try and hide Superman's abilities, but for the wrong fucking reasons. Just utterly stupid reasons.
Yeah.
Like, everybody kind of picks on the scene where he doesn't want him to save them, but I can kind of understand that. Also, Kendrick the Bird. Ah, you passed, damn it. but, like... And he's like, yeah, like, I could have gone in and just saved a whole bus full of kids. He's like, yeah, and people would hate you for that. Really? Yeah. Fucking really?
So, what are you, based on what you've heard everyone talk about and all the stuff you've seen, what are you expecting going into Batman vs. Superman?
Well, without having to try and, you know, do the spoiler dodging game, I'm expecting to see kind of an older version. I'm looking at basically a reinterpretation of Dark Knight Returns. That style of Batman. The grizzled, old, semi-retired, tired of everybody's bullshit.
I keep hitting them again.
I'm still expecting to see fucking Superman just be his usual character self, like they did in Man of Steel, where he turns into this just like, yeah, I'm the fucking Superman. From what I saw from trailers, I think it's kind of an interesting complex to add to it when they've actually made him kind of revered, because he is essentially a god among men.
Yeah, I'd say that that's one of the things that Zack Snyder tends to do, or it seems like he's doing, even in Man of Steel, is like he's pushing Superman to that kind of like god status really quickly, like really fast. Like even in the first movie, he does it. Like by the end, they're like, everyone's like, whoa, dude, like.
And then I was really just kind of hoping that this movie would focus on the actual conflict between Batman and Superman and maybe hint towards some stuff, but everything I've seen is like, oh, we're also introducing Wonder Woman and Doomsday and Aquaman and Lex Luthor, and it's just like, okay, here's the primary problem I have with that. Avengers was able to pull that off because they did about 5 years worth of movies that built up every single one of those characters and gave you backstory and gave you an interesting plot and understanding about why those characters interact with each other the way that they do.
Kendrick and I are both nodding at you.
I have an interjection when you're done.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, go for it. No, go ahead.
And I would say that this ties back into the thing I was bitching about earlier today, which is that the hype machine and the trailers have done you a tremendous disservice, sir. As they do literally every time for literally every movie since literally the dawn of time. And I don't need any hyperbole there. I mean, 100% of the time, trailers are bullshit.
Yeah.
And hype machines are bullshit. Because I can tell you that while I found many faults with that movie, among them was not that there were too many characters or that they tried to introduce too many people.
I'd say that that's fair agreement.
Like, the establishment and the concerns people had about them establishing Aquaman and The Flash and Wonder Woman and Doomsday and everybody else that they talked about are so utterly unfounded. Partially due to the duration of the movie, but partially because The Flash and Aquaman's involvement is barely even cameo level.
Yeah.
Neither of them have line. The Flash sort of has a line, kind of, very briefly, but otherwise, no real lines of dialogue on screen for less than 15 seconds. Likewise with Cyborg, and they're little hints. As far as Wonder Woman's appearance, it's well done.
I would actually say that
Wonder Woman's appearance and presence and everything she does in that movie is the best thing in the movie, and probably one of the better depictions of Wonder Woman they've ever had. Partially because of how sneaky she is.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't suffer from the two brothers conundrum, where like you just start introducing.
It's just called two brothers.
Wow, that really just that escalated quickly. Like,
yeah,
that I'll say
tomato or Armada.
That part of the film does it well.
I think we can all agree with that one. I think even Kate would agree with that one, that it doesn't feel like too many cooks. Actually, is what it.
Yeah,
it
too many
more
cooks.
Than two brothers.
The too many
where cooks. They just keep introducing characters. Like, when does the show start? So, but it's got plenty of other problems I don't want to go into and spoil the movie too much for you, so I would encourage you to watch it, obviously, but I would say that that's a fine example of where trailers have really screwed the pooch and that the hype machine fucked us all over.
There's actually two really good skits about trailers. There's the one that Britannic does about the trailer where they just explain all the nuances of all the trailers, which
I'd highly put it,
introducing main plot character and like, this is the main problem with the currently most topical mental illness. Like, they do that whole thing. And I watched one today that the Studio C guys do, which I'm really actually enjoying a lot of their stuff. It's like the trailer where everything's revealed. Like, so they basically go through the entire trailer and like, and then they find something and like, oh, it's a box. And like, that was one of the things. And you're like, it's just like a great depiction of how trailers are just like
ruining
these shit machines that like either build up too much hype or undersell a film that's really good.
Or give away the twists.
Yeah,
which exactly. is one of the most infuriating things for me. It's like if you're going to walk into a story, someone's telling you, they start off saying, oh, this is a story about that creepy girl who's lying under bed. Oh, man, that's the twist.
Oh, fuck
her. That's like the whole point. You spent the whole movie building up to that. I mean, like, the whole story builds up to that spooky thing. Like, fuck you.
Well, yeah,
fuck
the J.J. Abrams problem, where like, for a long time, J.J. Abrams was obsessed with putting these like really sweet teeth, these really like, not sweet. Sweet is definitely not the word that I meant to say there. He's really, like, annoying teaser trailers out where, like, he's specifically, like, just making you focus on one part of the movie.
I'll stop here, guys. Yeah.
Wee.
Oh, God, that car behind you.
Yep.
Okay.
That was me balancing whether I want to get rear-ended in my car or Joe's car and doing the math in my head about whose body work would be more expensive.
This is the situation we run into in a guest star at SysSock where the car that the person who's talking to us in is in front of us.
I would say that's largely irrelevant, though, because I was thinking the same thing. I mean, even if you weren't on SysSock, this is just that delightful experience of Highway 36.
That's right.
Sometimes Highway 36 just goes from 65 to stop.
Yeah, and it, like, because go fuck yourself.
I feel like someone's invested in brake jobs, and like that's how they're making their money back. Like, someone's like, I've got money in brakes, and I'm going to make it back by just dropping debris in the road.
They have like one, or they have like one like car that just goes out and just brakes all the time in random spots.
Brake
to cause
car
everybody braking in traffic.
Yep.
Like it's worth it. All we have to do is sacrifice one car a year, and everybody has to replace their brakes all the time.
And he has to replace his brakes too.
We've seeded
it. Goddamn! Another hard break.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, then.
Dude, this fucking van behind you.
Yeah, he is actually coming in hot.
On the note of the whole, like, spoiling things, would you guys consider that telling somebody that there is a twist in the movie is kind of spoiling it as well?
I would say it's contextual. It depends on the movie and how it was advertised and what you know about it. Because sometimes you know there's a twist.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't expect a twist, and that is the twist. Like, okay, spoiler, Secret Window. If I told you there's a big twist in Secret Window, that might have more of an impact than if I'd have said that about, I don't know, like an M. Night Shyamalan movie or something, where you're like, oh, of course there's a twist.
I go even further, because Secret Window has presented itself as a psychological thriller, so even then I knew there was going to be some type
of twist. If I say, like, man, there's a really big twist, it might influence your watching of
that
movie.
But I would beg for you to give an example about a movie that doesn't have a twist.
Well, I mean, like, what was that one that M. Night Shyamalan won?
Shyamalan.
The Village?
Yeah. That movie is...
Oh, The Village?
If you didn't know if you didn't know it was a Shyamalan movie, you might not... And I said, oh, there's a twist. You'd be looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, a lot of movies have twists. I feel like it... I mean, it's kind of contextual. If I told you that The Witch had a big twist in it, you'd be spending the whole time watching for it, right?
I was thinking more like if you told me like a Lifetime movie has a twist, I'd be like, where? I wonder what happens. Like,
oh, yeah,
I'm not expecting
guess
that.
What? Meredith Baxter gets beaten.
Yeah, like, you don't, like...
No, well, you know what the twist is? She doesn't.
Yeah.
Whoa!
And like, so like, I don't know if saying, like, saying like there's a twist in a movie is like, to me, like saying there's credits. Like,
I feel like there's a big plot point. That's what you're saying. Like, there's a big plot point you're not going to expect. And it's like, well, now I'm expecting it.
Okay.
But if it's in the context
movie
of the movie, right?
Yeah,
it's okay. But it's sort of like, and that's in the horror movie where the main character dies. You're like, I kind of expect the main character to die, but like now I know they die. It could be a deleterious effect on your movie experience, but it might not.
See, I guess I'm on the boat of like might not, because typically I'm like, oh, I wonder how it plays out. Like, I still want to see the story because half the movie is about the journey, not about the end, right?
Yes and no. I mean, like, you got spoiled in one of the biggest movies of our generation right now, and you can't say it didn't influence your watching.
No. I don't mean it doesn't influence my watching. I just mean that, like, I don't dislike spoilers. Like,
I would say that the biggest reason spoilers are a problem is when you're not expecting them. It's like if you go to something and you're reading a review and you get spoiled, you're like, okay.
Oh, like the thing from Star Wars with Han Solo.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Okay,
where someone just throws it out in front of you and you're like, I didn't want to know that.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, I don't have a problem with people talking about a movie and spoiling it for someone, or you might not have a problem, but it's the unexpected.
It's the idea that you can have a spoiler thrown in your face, much like some dude who's just, you know, I don't know where I was going to do that. And
you were
like,
doing like a...
I don't think I
want to
talk about facials in this podcast.
No, it's
and
not
I just
that.
Did it.
It's not that. Well, we went there. I was just saying it was Silence of the Lambs, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what that happens. That's where, for all I know, she likes that, but not in that context. That, yep, there we go. Bring me back to whatever the fuck that was that we did.
Yeah, this is a this is an interesting sitsock it turned into.
Not really, this is part of the course. Porn.
Every, I just was like, it was a, it was like,
every day.
Did I give you enough of a point on where I'm standing from the aspect of like coming into? Okay.
Definitely.
Because
I want to splice in your comments now. After
you add to that, though.
Yeah, like, let's pause for a second right here, because we should ask you again after, and then actually edit.
Splice it right back.
But we're not going to do that.
No, we're not going to do that. So anyway.
There's the pause, and we'll go.
Yeah.
Pause that we're not
And
gonna.
We're back.
After Joe's comments that we didn't edit in.
Which we totally edited in there.
Wait,
if you didn't
wait.
Hear that, then you're listening to it on an illegal source, and you should find a better source.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're coming after you.
Give us money, you fucker.
Or reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, that too. I love you.
Love you.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi.
So what was the rest of your... You had more shit to say. Say your shit!
More shit. The only thing I was going to add is I was kind of... I'm kind of expecting it to play very heavily into Dark Knight, like the actual Frank Miller novel, Dark Knight Returns.
I would say that's fair.
Just from what I've seen, it looks very reminiscent of that, and because of that, I'm really excited to see it. I am saying... Having you guys tell me that like the introduction of a bunch of characters doesn't take away from it and was done well actually kind of sets my mind at ease for that. So now I'm a little more excited to see it. I am still going to try and go in with lower reservations just because I want to be wowed.
Definitely. But, keep those expectations low on the ground and you won't be disappointed.
And I think that...
You can never be disappointed.
We can both agree, I think, that this is a movie about Superman and Batman. Like,
I would say that it's primarily, it's the title. They ignore the part where it's Dawn of Justice, because that's the stupidest name of something I've ever heard. Followed by, I mean, it's let's be honest, it's Batman versus Superman. Oh, also Wonder Woman saves their asses. Like,
and,
that's what it is.
And there's Lex Luthor in there somewhere.
And Lex Luthor is sort of the antagonist, one of the antagonists, I'll just say that.
Yeah.
And antagonist, there. Yeah.
But that's, I think, why the character introductions doesn't do a huge thing, because just like the movie title, Dawn of Justice is like a subtitle. It's like... A subplot that's in the movie that doesn't distract too
and
much
has
and actually kind of makes it more interesting.
The title has nothing to do with it, but Dawn of Justice doesn't make any fucking sense. But
Dawn of Justice.
I know, think about it for more than a second. You're like, that doesn't make sense as a sentence in the context of the movie, out of the context of the movie. In no way does that actually make any fucking sense. It's like someone's like, so Zach, what's the subtitle? The what now? Yeah, the subtitle of your movie.
You're not just calling it Batman vs. Superman, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I would never do that. That's dumb. That's dumb. It's by,
I've been thinking about this the whole time.
Dawn of, Just Us.
Justice?
It's
yeah.
It's
definitely
Superman
didn't say Just Us.
E-tier Griffin.
God crap.
What did you say, Joe?
It's Just Us, right? The Dawn of Just Us.
Because we're the metahuman.
They had me type this, so it doesn't work.
Oh my god, that actually makes more sense.
Oh, wow.
The Dawn of Just Us makes a lot more sense as a subtitle, because it's talking about the Justice League and the metahumans.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, that makes so much more fucking sense. So I feel like maybe that was literally just a transcription error.
It's a typo, guys.
Yeah.
The movie's title has the typo in it. There was one scene in it where, they were doing, like, this isn't big spoilers, because they were doing a news scene, right? And for some reason, they decided not to capitalize the person's name in one of the frames. And I didn't know if it was a stylistic decision or if it was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, April O'Neil looking at her phone, but it having a camera on and having a picture of her face on the phone mistake, like editing mistake. There's a scene in the new TMNT Michael Bay movie where Megan Fox is taking a picture of like the Foot Clan symbol, but she's holding her phone and it's got the camera, like the camera's on and it's facing her face.
She's taking a selfie,
but they didn't edit it out. Nice. And that is in the first 10 minutes of the movie, which made me overanalyze every bad thing about the movie instead of actually enjoying like it for
me. So you Kendrick did.
That's what I call that.
Yeah, basically the whole suspension of disbelief was shattered.
Yeah.
That whole wall was brought down, and now all you could see was the editing, man.
Point of order.
Oh, man, that hurts. As an editor, that hurts.
In Bats v. Supes, D of the J, none of the issues that Kate or I, the dick of just us. I've already got the porn spin off, patent pending, copyrighted.
Yeah, big storm's coming into that one.
Big Sue picture. Bats versus Supes. B Dog versus the S.
Bat Cram versus Super Dong.
So
is Sid Sock just us making up porn titles now?
Rapidly approaching that, yes. So no, the none of the issues that we found with it and complained about, I think, really were that jarring, except a couple of dialogue pieces and a couple of story things here and there. And I still can't get over, goth Jersey.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's just too weird for
that
me.
That pulled Kendrick out of immersion.
That pulled me out of immersion when I first figured it out. And it threw me because, like, you can see the bat signal from Metropolis.
JoJo, do you have an instance in a movie where you saw something that was either cinematographic or story-driven or, like, editorial or directorial that just jarred you out of enjoying the movie so much that you started over-analyzing every little bad thing?
I'm trying to think of a specific example. I have had that happen, but I've had it happen a couple of times. But I've gone back and watched those, and I'm just trying to think of like one actual specific example where that happened to me. No, actually, you know what? I do have one. It was actually, I think we talked about this once on an episode of Sid Sock.
Sid Sock!
It was an episode of Arrow in the first...
Oh, yeah. That might have been in my rant.
Go ahead.
Yeah. There's a part where it's where like Arrow's about to go fight the one of the Triad assassins, and it's like the first real fight he has because everyone else he's taken over has been like thugs and easy like level one plebs.
Yeah.
And then she's actually fighting with him, but the fight scene has four moves to it that they redid from different angles, like four different times, and then, like when the fight's over, like he chases her down, and then he like trick arrows her, and then she gets away. But like before he went to the fight, they had a scene where he's like loading up, and it's like kind of like the Rambo sequence where he's like puts the mask on, like throws the hood up, he strings the bow, he ties his belt up. They did that scene, and then at the end of the fight, they do it in reverse. And what like, thing is, the only thing that drew that to my attention was the movements were a little janky, but not too bad, until he blinked.
And then he's like, whoop! Like,
and when you see someone blink in reverse on film, it's super obvious and incredibly weird. And because of that... as much as I do like watching Arrow, every time I freaking watch an episode, I catch that shit.
Or you're like looking out for that stuff. Yeah,
watching for it.
Yeah. That's why I had to go back and watch TMNT one more time, because I was like, okay, ignore April O'Neil. Let's watch the movie for what I really want to watch it for, which is Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
It was definitely better the second time when I wasn't like, I was trying to be more neutral about it, so. But yeah. That's funny. I wonder if we can find that episode because I want to see that or find that like clip on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it when I get home.
Okay.
Yeah, then I'll send it to you guys.
Oh.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Okay then. So I would say that in terms of the Batman movie, which is apparently right with it. Are you out?
I'm about to jump off of here because I got to jump out through this. All right. Do a couple of errands.
Here goes Joe.
All right, bye, Joe.
I am too quick signing off from Sid Sock. Hopefully, I'll come back again.
Hopefully. Same format. We'll figure out if it works.
Fucked it up, maybe there's something you guys can salvage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my next comment was going to be. Is like, if this ever makes it as an episode.
All right, cool. I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, Joe.
Alrighty. Bye, Joe. So, he's wrong, obviously.
Yeah, basically everything Joe said is...
completely inaccurate.
Yeah, he's racist untrue. Now.
Racist,
because of
sexist,
some of the stuff he said.
Jingoist?
He basically is a Nazi.
Zionist? Anti-Zionist.
He's the worst kind of Nazi, though, because he's like...
he's
the
a
one,
Nazi Jew.
The one who asked Hitler to do...
Yeah, he's the one who manipulated Hitler into doing that. Like, Hitler was innocent because of what
for
Joe
a second,
did.
I was like, I wonder if we can just talk shit about Joe until we get to your house, and I was like, nah.
Not with this chapter. Not with this chapter.
We're on 20, there's no way that's happening.
No way. Yeah, especially 20th Street, which is always confusing because you drive past 20th Street and then 20th Avenue on the same road, and that never ever feels right to me.
Well, that's how all streets and avenues work, right? All
no,
the
normally
avenues
they cross.
Oh,
because 6th Avenue is we live on 20th Street goes north, south.
But you can't prove that.
I just did. Did you see this hand
gesture? Oh, But see, nobody else saw it, and I was ignoring
it. I made a hand gesture indicating that I'm right.
We'll have to get at that guy in the other car to see.
His associates.
But yeah, I think, again, though, so I wanted to talk about the Martha thing. I'm going to give kind of the quick synopsis of why I liked it, as I did on the Facebook thing. I thought it... So the thing that we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier with, like, how I may have... Well, not on Sid Talk. Fuck. Okay, so I may have been...
Just talk about it like it's a new idea.
Putting it, oh, yeah, I thought of this right now. Oh, my God.
I just had this great idea.
So I realized that I might have been putting a Batman into place that was not the Batman from the movie. And so when he did that, I was just kind of using the Batman I had created instead of the Batman that was there to fill in the thing that was happening that made sense to me.
I'm reminded of a Homer Simpson joke, but I'll wait.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll just say it's like when Homer is being brainwashed in that earlier episode of The Simpsons with the leader. The leader is good. The leader is great. And they had to brainwash him by doing the Batman theme. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na, leader. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na, leader. 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 Batman. I mean, leader.
They do that.
They just literally do that, yes. Matt Groening, give us money. I know you don't have much left anymore after buying your gold castle. But
Matt Groening, submit a comment on this podcast on iTunes or something.
Please. Or Dan Castellaneta or any of the guys. But my point is that in that thing, they're trying to brainwash him with a movie, right?
Yeah.
And they don't quite go so far as to the Clockwork Orange or the eyes being forced open, but every time someone says, like, you're free to leave whenever you want. Every time they stand up, they stop the movie and spotlight the person and say, where are you going? I was just going to leave. Why? Did you not like the movie? Like, they get, like, way into it. But Homer is sitting their way through, and it's all just talking about how great the leader is, and it's just this brainwashing propaganda video, you know? And then at the end, they're like, well, what did you think of the movie? Homer's like, I thought it was good, but it was something like, why did the Indian guy end up working at that thing? And why was the cop involved in whatever? It's like,
he's like picking out plot points.
No, it was like, none of that was in the movie. It's like, oh, yeah, sometimes I get bored with the movie I'm watching, and I make up a different movie in my head.
Maybe that's what I did, because, like, the Martha thing to me was, like, Superman... Okay, so Batman, in the way I understand him, would never, like, do what that character was doing, which is, like, the blood murder, like, the bloody... Or not bloody, like, the murderous rampage Batman who's, like, I must kill Superman.
Single-minded psychopathic behavior. Obsessive behavior, yeah.
That one. Like, when he was doing all this stuff, I just saw it as, like, oh, he's doing what Lex Luthor's doing, but in the hero version, where he's, like, doing the Batman thing where he preps for every scenario. So that was the one thing I was like, that
was
the strong
part. Instead of setting
up
a series of things to murder him.
Well, he knew those weren't going to kill him.
Like, right. Well.
Very easily. Like, and so, the thing that is kind of weird is, like, that spear, you're like, well, I mean, like, that's going to...
It's gonna fuck him up.
The gas was like, okay, yeah. The spear's like, maybe you're probably gonna fucking kill him if you stab him with that.
The gas was a 50-50, the spear is gonna murder him.
The Martha thing to me was like, it wasn't about the name necessarily. The name does have it has an impact, obviously. That's why they chose to do it and so on and so forth.
I think I would have preferred it if the names didn't match, to tell you the truth.
He's like, save. He's like, save my mom.
Yeah, save my mom.
So, yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's got a mommy. I don't have a mommy.
Yeah.
Like, that there would have done it, right?
Well, okay, so Batman is seeing Superman with his last breath try to save someone else, which is, to me, he's like, maybe this guy's not a dick.
Which,
like, I think is important. Yeah, thank you.
And I was going to correct, but the listeners haven't heard this already.
This new
idea you had.
That I've never, ever articulated before. That's why I'm so bad at saying it. Fucking Christ, Kendrick, god damn it. This idea that I've never thought about before, I can only say. I think it kind of brought Bruce Wayne into the mentality of, like, who am I killing someone? Am I just, like, the guy who killed my mom and, like, the mom, or, like, my parents and et cetera, et cetera? Like, I don't know if I should be this guy who's killing people that are just trying to do the right thing, or maybe, like, trying to do the right thing, or am I doing the right thing by killing, or... This Superman now is completely powerless, and I was completely powerless, but this guy still killed my parents. Is it something that, like, I should be doing still?
I dig all that.
Yeah.
But I don't know where the fuck you got that from, except from when you say filled in the gaps, that you, like, someone who's in an abusive relationship, you just kind of shut down and went to a happy place.
I can't break up with Mark. He has all my CDs. Like, I can't.
No, but I mean, like, you just legitimately just went to a happy place where these stories made sense because you were just traumatized by the terribleness. Like, that's almost what it's starting to sound like. Because maybe. I watched that scene, and I got none of that. What I got was save Martha. How do you know that name? Why do you know that name? obsessing with the name. And he never once said anything about parents and everything. Just, like, wouldn't let go of the name.
The flashback thing is what hit me there, because he saw, he was flashing back to his mom dying. So that's where I got this, like, kind of the second part where he's, like, you know, like, the powerlessness.
Right, but I feel like, the fact that they had to do that, like, that you had to sit there and analyze the shit out of that before it made sense feels like it's lazy.
Didn't you have to do the same thing to decide all these things about the movie after the fact anyway? Like,
right, but what I mean is, as we started to analyze it, it fell apart under scrutiny.
Okay. And yeah, I know, and that's why I preface this whole thing with, like, hey, I just watched my own movie at the end
yeah.
there. And so, yeah, I now look back at that argument and I'm like, okay, maybe I just kind of did whatever I wanted. I wrote a book in my head.
Yeah.
I watched a different movie.
You Homer Simpson did, which is fine. And, I mean, sometimes you got to do that. But it's like that's cool that you made up for the glaring plot holes, but that doesn't mean the glaring plot holes
are
okay.
That's, well, that one specifically, yeah. It didn't bother me as much, I guess, as other
people. Well, and it didn't bother me right away either. At first, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, they got that. But there was a moment, just a split second of, what?
Wait.
Where, and the fact that it hit me as what, and I watch movies intently, I pick up on tropes, I'm not an idiot, I was paying attention, it wasn't like I was on my phone,
are
I was paying attention.
The same in
no.
the normal way?
I don't think so.
Okay. I never really thought about it.
No, and so. I find that weird. I guess it was weird for me that they changed it for that, too. That was a little weird.
It's I guess, yeah, Martha Kent? I thought it was Martha Kent, though.
I'd have to look. I don't remember.
There's no way that we'd be able to look.
That's impossible to know.
We can't do that. We're recording. We can't look on our phone.
I can't.
Also, he's driving.
Motor vehicle.
And, like, I don't want to.
So,
yeah, no, okay. So,
in the end, though, it still was like, I just think. And the thing that, here's the biggest part. It wasn't even like that was the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen. It was more like a couple small changes was all you needed, guys.
Yeah.
It didn't live up to its potential. It's like, what was the thing I made before, the comparison I made before, is where you know someone in high school who's your friend who's like a straight-A student, and AP,
you mean the
everything.
Comparison you just thought of right now?
Yeah, Scott? Yeah, okay. Yeah. You have like a buddy in high school who's like AP everything, super smart, straight-A student, super charming, whatever, and then ends up managing in Arby's. He's making decent money. Like, maybe he manages three Arby's, but it's like...
Or he's like a CEO at Arby's, is that?
Not even like a CEO, but I mean like... Or like he...
He's like a regional manager.
Or like he runs his own... he runs his own business, but it's like a janitor business, and he's got two employees.
Mark's
like,
surfboards in Colorado. You're like, you make really good surfboards, but this is Colorado,
And you could do much more. and I'm sad that you've done this. And I'm more sad that you're happy with it. Like, that's the part. That's the part that's infuriating.
Yeah.
We are going this way.
Because you feel too much like a dick to merge.
No, because I just saw what looked like a pileup about to happen as everyone just stopped super sharp. And yeah. I don't understand why. So I think there might just be a dead Indian, like an Indian bear or something
there. Yeah, it stops car break. It's another car brake scheme. They reposition an Indian bear ground underneath that.
Yeah, that makes sense. But if you look at it, we'll probably end up going about the same speed anyway.
I do think, though, that my first point still stands a little bit. Even though I made up the whole second point and that's googly-eyed and crazy.
Sure.
He is watching a person that he thought was completely outline evil.
Yes, I agree.
Ask to save someone else.
The humanization of that spot was what had to happen for him to do that.
But it does require a bit of analysis to look through.
And I feel like they could have done a better job.
Yep.
And that's what bothers me is, like, you guys have this whole writing thing, all these writers and shit. And so much of the movie was so good that I can't help but remember the shit that stuck out as being weird and problematic.
Did we come back to the same point we came back to earlier, which was, we want to see the deleted scenes.
I want to see the deleted scenes, and frankly, I still want to watch a full-length movie that takes place in the crazy dark side world, where Batman's all, you know, coat wearing, and I made the right choice.
For everybody that wants to see what Kendrick's talking about right now, I would highly suggest go watching the Dark Knight Returns, the animated stuff.
I'll have to go
Netflix.
Watch that one. Yeah,
it's a two-parter. You might have to actually download it because it was on Netflix CD.
Buy it.
I don't know if it was.
You should
CD.
Buy it legally.
Yeah,
we don't condone any illegal.
Yeah,
activities
don't do
here
that stuff. That's really illegal. Don't do that stuff. But you should definitely find it and go watch
get
it.
Get a hold of it in a way that rewards the content creators.
It's
for
a two-parter.
Troubles.
Well, if you like it, then spend money on
if
it.
If you liked it, then you should have spent a dollar on it.
If that was what it cost, I would have spent a dollar on it. Kendrick's waving his ring hand around. Okay. Wow, this looks like ramshackle.
I know, isn't this sketch-tastical?
Hey, there's an exit over them there, Potch.
Yeah, someone knocked over the sign.
That sign's been knocked over for ages. Yeah, so go find that.
If
you have seen the movie and you don't agree with us, you should probably, you know, go comment on the, you know, the post or, you know, on iTunes.
If you disagree with us, you should actually give us a rational, non-fanboy explanation.
Yeah,
that. And if your answer is that we're not smart enough to get it or it's too dark and gritty, I'll find you and I will set you on fire in front of your family.
And then if you agree with me, I will definitely try to put you out soon after Kendrick doesn't have fire anymore. Like, probably like a day.
I'm gonna come loaded for bear. For burning bears down.
He's gonna give you a day's worth of fire. If you survive a day's worth of fire, I'll put you out.
Yeah.
How about that?
And I won't even stop him from doing that.
We're playing
that's just impressive.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, this is not good. This is like good cop, holy fuck, what are you doing?
Why aren't you helping me? You have water. It's a day's worth of fire.
It's a day's worth of fire. That day includes Kyle's attempt to put it out.
Well, and that's kind of our two-parter semi-thing.
We'll be in this traffic for a while.
Well, I know, but I've already started the closing, and now I'm, like, nervous about
it. We have to continue a little bit more. No, I still say it's a movie worth watching.
Yeah.
Go watch it. But and I don't think it deserves the, wow, these guys just kept coming. Look at that. There's, like, 8 cars back behind me, and they're, like, I barely have room, and there's just, wow, guys. Automate it.
Automate
anyway,
it.
I like how almost every sit sock devolves into talking about traffic at least once.
Google take the wheel.
Oh, look, nope, everybody's merging. Dude, you do not get to do this. Make a left turn and a U-turn. You are going to have a shit time otherwise, and I will find you and probably also set you on fire.
Whoa.
No, I think that I don't think it deserves the rotten rating it got, which is where I kind of have lost a lot of faith in Rotten Tomatoes over this movie, frankly.
I was there 5 years ago.
Whatever's so left of faith in it. Because the fact that they could do that, like, the fact that it got rotten and wasn't even released yet was like, wow, guys, really?
Like, they did that, and then I went to go look at Superman Returns, and it was like 79-80%, and I'm like, all right,
yeah,
I'm
we're
still
done.
In
and
the
we're
same
done
boat.
Here.
I'm in the same boat as I
we're
was a while
here.
Ago.
We're
this is
here.
Necessary.
Yeah, so, that's a football that someone just kind of threw into the street.
I saw, like, a scene from, like, a Lifetime movie in my head where Kendrick's like, I'm talking about stuff I can't get. And, like, this little kid's
I ran
like,
over Meredith Baxter now.
Oh, I'm the little kid who needs to chase a football into the street. And I said, oh.
That was the sound of impact.
it's smashing.
Yeah. Crushing
wet
bones. Yeah.
Little wet bits.
Indeed. But again, I think the biggest thing that I ran into is that the only viewpoints I've seen are it's the worst movie ever made or it's the best movie ever made. And I would disagree with both of them.
I want to be clear and say, since I wasn't from the beginning, I do not think this is the best movie ever made. I just don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to
I think
be. Because
okay,
I have
okay,
the problem
wait,
of not
seeing
plot holes
as easily as
everyone
else. Let's do this. And then this is going to be tricky because I want to like write it down and so we have to say it at the same time. On the count of three, tell me how many stars out of 5 stars you'd give the movie.
Okay.
On three. Okay?
So like 1, 2, 3, go? Or
1, 2, 3, go.
Okay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
4.
I had to say go, but I was going to say 4.
Okay. You were going to say 4?
I was actually going to say 4.
Oh, okay, cool.
3.5 or 4?
Yeah, I was going to say 3.5, but it was too many syllables, so I said 4. I rounded it up.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I think I might have actually said gore. We should go back up to the tape. I think
okay,
I might have said
yeah.
gore because I had
gore.
But,
we'll have to slow it down in the replay.
No, I think I meant to say a number, and instead I said go, so I fucked it up, but I promise I was going to say 4, and then immediately be like, nah, I think I mean 3.
We should do that more often and make it as bad as possible. We're like, remember movies, on 3, we'll go. Say shit, look, oh man, I was going to say whatever you said every time.
But no, I mean, I kind of wanted to disagree with you, but what was funny was, we agree, like, it wasn't great, but it had a lot of things that were amusing. It had some badass special effects, it had Batman punching the shit out of Superman, Superman punching the shit out of Batman.
Yeah.
It had some sweet, like, Red Sun Injustice style evil Superman stuff.
Yeah.
It had
just wasn't like
some great performances. It just
done,
felt like
right.
It had those things, and then they were all disjointed random pieces that weren't.
It's like you're watching
together.
A skit comedy show or a skit show, and it kind of had all the cool skits in it, but it does. It's like when the Matrix did the Animatrix, and it was like
yeah,
all those little cool
exactly.
things. They did a Batman one when Dark Knight.
Yeah, with
Rises
a bunch of
out.
Unrelated
yeah.
random pieces.
And so, like, I guess so. I want to finish this with why we watch movies, because this was an important part of the discussion I had on Facebook, and I think it's important to talk about, because a lot of people do like entertainment for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching movies to come out with a smile on my face, and sometimes that's affected by what I expect, but I try to keep an open mind and just try to see the good things when I go to a film. And like, That sounds like, oh, happy-go-lucky stuff. And, like, the entertainment value of Superman, Batman vs. Superman, was enough that I came out of the theater enjoying myself. And that's kind of, like, the crux of why I would pay to see a movie. I don't think I was happy paying $20 for it, because we saw it in 3D.
Right.
If you can see it not in 3D, I would definitely
pay $12 for it. I watched it in 3D as well, and I honestly think it was a complete waste of time and money.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason.
But I have yet to actually see a movie in 3D that I feel like the 3D was a game changer.
Okay. So what do you think about, like...
One of these.
Okay, yeah, that you pointed... Yeah, okay,
we're done. I gotta teach this as game-changing.
What do you think about, like...
I would... Okay, so, as a commentary to that, I would say that I often watch movies the same way when I'm wanting a visceral experience, sort of a Expendables or Hobo with a Shotgun or those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But typically when I go to see a movie, I want to be told a story, which is where with the plot starts getting wiggly, I have to devolve into that other form that you have, which for me is not as enjoyable.
Okay.
Like, I walk out of there with a smile on my face, but it felt like the story fell flat. Now, when I go into something like Expendables, I never once expected there to be story. In fact, when we watched Expendables 3, totally legally, we got it off the internet, we,
Well done.
Yeah. The sound was out of sync.
And it,
impacted the enjoyment of the movie. I could barely understand anything they were saying, and I didn't care.
Yeah, and so there you go. So when you listen to us talk about films, which we should have probably done in the first time we talked about Star Wars, this is the way we're coming from, so now you have it. There you go.
So there. This is Sit Sock.
Kyle.
Kendrick. Go forth and have a fantastic and wonderful rest of your day. Boop.